Hi, welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada. Where are
I am
you?
I'm rough right now. That's I'm very tired. I'm in Colorado. I'm in Denver. We drove through the worst one of the worst snowstorms I've ever driven through after my gig last night. And I wasn't even driving, and I was like the most concentrated I'd have ever been on the road in my life.
Were you at the Comedy Works?
No, I was so it's been like I've been in a different city in Colorado every day. So I was in Fort Collins on Thursday, Basalt on Friday, and then I was in Frisco last night, and now I'm in Denver at the Comedy Lounge, the Denver Comedy Lounge tonight.
Are you with Evan?
Yeah.
So wait, so you said you were driving.
No, so our compromise was that I would drive to Denver or to Frisco, and he was like, "Hey, there's a big snowstorm." Because like every time you put anything in Google Maps for yesterday, they were like, "There's a snowstorm coming," and it's like beautiful out. It's like 60 degrees. The sun is out, and it's just like you would go to like the gas station to be like, "The snow is coming," and you're like, "All right, Google, we get it. Like, chill, dude." And like we watched it. We're like, "Okay, it's gonna start snowing."
Snow. Yeah, sorry.
No, it just it, I and it's funny because it's the right thing to do. But you know, it feels so much like crying wolf. Like I don't know who messed up in New York at least, but like somebody didn't close down the schools when there was a snowstorm a couple of years ago. And in New York, it's like if we're gonna get an inch of snow, there's no school, nobody's allowed to leave the house, the city is dead. Like it's just, and then you'll get an inch of snow and you'll be like, all right, guys. But it's like it's fine. You'd rather them blow it out of proportion, but it's hard not when they're like, it's snow. There's going to be snow everywhere. It's going to start at 4 p.m. There's going to be 17 inches by 7 p.m. So it started snowing literally as soon as my show started. And like, what, 2.5 hours later, by the time we got out, it was like 4 inches of snow already on the ground. But a part of me, you know, this is Colorado. I assumed they are like New Jersey and New York, who are like on top of it. There's no salt on the road. I feel like there's just like one guy in a plow that's like, you guys know how to drive, right? And like immediately,
Yeah.
dude, immediately we're on the road. We see a car that's like spun out on the side and there's two cops. And like, it's, I mean, for, 'cause like as soon as you get like, you go down elevation, it was so much better. It was like, it felt like, within the 20 minute, it was probably like the first 45 minutes were like scary as hell. And then the next 45 minutes were like, it never happened. Like it was just kind of raining outside. But like,
Yeah.
it was, I don't know. I was telling Evan, I did a college gig, I want to say 10 years ago. And I was borrowing my dad's car. I borrowed my dad's car every weekend to do stand up. And so I was upstate somewhere, like I want to say like 6 hours. And, my dad called me like four times in the middle of the night. And finally, I pick up the phone. I'm like, what? He's like, get in your car and start driving home. I was like, Dad, I'm so tired. He's like, Liz, get in your car and start driving home. There's a horrible storm coming. So I get in my car, and for the first 4 hours, there's nothing going on. And the whole time, it's like three in the
You're
morning.
just
I'm like, fuck.
fuming.
Yeah, just like, fuck you. You don't know. This is old people, like just losing my mind, just so tired and so angry. And then as soon as I was like 2 hours away, it was like a blanket. And I must have gone 25. Like if it was supposed to be 6 hours, I think it took me like 8 or 9 hours. 'Cause the last 2 hours of that drive, I was going 25 in what was probably over a foot of snow.
Aren't dads
And
funny like that? Like, I remember my dad, it was in the winter, maybe a couple years ago. And he was trying to explain the insurance to me and like what to do in case like something happened with the car and who to call. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you don't want to listen to me? I was like, that it's insur like what is there to listen to? Like, I'll figure it out. And I was like, nothing's gonna happen. And lo and behold, like, of course, what happened? I got a flat tire. That's what happened. And so I was stuck in the parking lot at Giant Eagle. Just no way to get, so I'm just like hanging out in Giant Eagle. And I was like, so dad, what was the process again for the insurance? He's like, I was like,
Yes.
of course that paid off for him.
Yeah, no, he was just like, I didn't want to wish a flat tire on you, but
Right.
this is my proudest moment as a father.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it, I mean, It was rough. And so, it took us a lot longer to go home. I think I went to bed like 1:30, but I feel, and on general, like, driving every day, and
You beat.
I'm a mess right
You're
now.
not a human at this moment.
But I had such a good show. It was so
Oh,
fun.
good.
Yeah, it was fun.
I would have been. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, say what you're
I would
saying.
have been a mess like driving with you in the Colorado snowstorm because I'm so scared of driving anymore. I don't know what's going on. I'm scared of everything.
Really?
Well, you were with me. Remember we were driving in California, we were driving through the mountains and it would be like a slight decline. And I was
My
like, Muffin, I'm
God.
gonna have to ask you to slow down. I was like,
Oh my
I
God. That
said, slow down.
Honestly, those are some of my favorite memories. Is it was so beautiful. Like, that was probably one of the prettiest drives I've ever been on. We were going, what, from like LA to San Episco,
San
San.
Luis Obispo.
Yeah. And it was beautiful. And the road was super winy. And it was just like us and like one other car.
I
And you
was
were like,
pure
hey,
terror.
oh my God, dude. Oh shit, bar. Literally, it was the closest I felt to a husband having a wife. You're like, honey, honey, honey.
I said,
What
slow
are
down. And then you started singing at some point, and I went, Muffin, you're just being way too casual. Because it was like a down, it was a dis decline. Is that what I'm, is that the word? Why am
Decline?
I so bad with words?
Descending?
Ending, decline. It
Yeah.
was going downhill. And reminds me of Jim Gaffigan's joke, where it's just like, I'll see you tomorrow, next week.
Next week, we'll figure it out.
It was going downhill, and but it was also curving. So it was like you could see beyond the road, like into the ravine. And I was like, I don't want anything to do. Just please slow down. You were only going 45,
I
and I
know.
said,
I
slow
was
down.
truly going the speed limit, and you're like, I had one hand on the wheel. You're like, I'm gonna need 10 and 2. I'm gonna need 10 and 2. I want your sunglasses off. I want you looking at the road. You're like, I will change the song. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't. And I wasn't even driving, and my face was like glued to the windshield, like truly, like just being a second eyes. Like when you're landing a plane from coach from economy, you're just sitting there being like, I'll keep this in the air. I got this. Oh, it's funny how that stuff is more exhausting. Like, I mean, I'm tired in general just from like flying out here and shows every night and driving to different places. But like, I also we got snacks. Like, we went to a gas station before and we got snacks, and I like fear ate my snacks. Like, genuinely was like, I don't remember where they went. Like, they were gone. Like, I
I've
was
had
just like,
moments like that.
I was like, I but like at
But when
one
you go for more and then your hand is just like not touching anything, where are the
point,
snacks? What happened? You know,
what?
I ate them all.
That's not, it's on the ground. I'll just get it off
Sure. Yeah, where
the
was I?
Yeah. So my tum tum doesn't feel happy. My brain is full of mush,
Yeah.
but here we are. This is traditionally how we did our podcast anyway. You look stunning. I look
Thank
like
you.
somebody. I literally say, like always, was like, is that eyeliner? Fuck you.
It is eyeliner. Yeah, I know, but I was trying to I always practice like for the podcast because I wouldn't go out in public like this because I've never really done this sort of like long. Anyway, but yeah, so you get my makeup tutorial face.
Stunning. You did a great job. You should leave the house like that. You look
Thank you.
lovely.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. What was I gonna say? I'm going to Dubai next week. So by the time this airs, I think I will have been in Dubai. And I'm like, it's gonna be like 76, 78. I'm like, is that warm? I forgot what weather feels like. Like, is that warm enough to swim? Is that comfortable?
Oh, yeah. I would think their 76 is hotter than normal 76.
I would say, yeah, maybe because there's gonna be like any wind or something. But
The
anyway.
same way that LA's 65 is colder than New York 65.
Right. Yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out how to pack for that. It's weird because I'm going with like an like another like a male comedian from London and it's like I'm going on holiday with this guy. I'm like, why am I not with my boyfriend? You know, it's so
Dude.
strange.
It's gonna feel even more like that as you take every meal with him, because I went with Scott. Oh, what's Scott's last name? He's a British comic. Oh, it's gonna bother me. He was great. So I didn't know him. got to know each other. And then I was like, hey, do you want to get breakfast? And we'd get breakfast. And it's this like beautiful buffet. It's all couples and families around us. And then he was like, are you going to go to the pool? I was like, yeah, I might go to the pool. And then it's just like all couples making out. And I'm just like, we had a lovely time. The shows were great. He was great. But it was funny after like the fourth meal with him, I was like, and I was single, but I was like, I feel like this is a travesty that this would be so nice if your wife was here. And sadly, you have to talk to me every morning. And he laughed so hard.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, he's real disappointed.
Oh, he loves his wife.
Oh, no, I know. But like, you're great too.
Sorry.
Comedy does put you in those situations where you're just like, I remember I went to Norway once and they put me up in a, like, the show was to promote the corporate apartments. So it was like they put on, so basically, like, as people toured these corporate apartments, they would come around from room to room. There would be comedians and food. It was weird. It was a weird concept. So I'm just like standing there when they walk in and I'm like, hello, I'm Maria, and blah, blah, blah. And like they're just hearing about some little Egyptian girl's story, you know, and like they're like, is that soup? And I'm like, yes. But I stayed in one, but like they put me up with the other comedian who's male. Like, he couldn't have been nicer. He was the nicest guy. Like, so it's like fine. I just didn't know him at the time, yeah. You know, and it was just like, what is this? So there was a one bedroom. And I was like, well, I'll take the living room. You can have the bedroom. He's like, no, you can have the bedroom. And I was like, no, it's because I'm a morning person. I'll get up really early. I don't want to tiptoe around you. Just let me have the couch. You know, like, but yeah. It's like, who are you? Why am I sleeping with you? Like, what is this?
But I feel like comedy has put us in the weirdest situations. I just like, there's so much like, okay. You know how there's like these weird unspoken rules in society that like you feel like you break them all the time and you understand them, like, so one is like and I still don't, I understand it but I don't fully understand it, but like, you're not supposed to be a man that's married isn't supposed to be alone with another woman, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's that kind of unspoken, but it's like I'm around married dudes all the time, you know what I mean? And I make a point to be like, hey, I'm safe. I don't want your man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I genuinely, if there's any girl, like sometimes, like, especially when you're on the road with somebody and you're doing like this, where you're like city hopping and you're in the, like, you know, their wife will call and you'll be like, hi, Sarah. You're like, truly. Or like, you know, he's like, hey, I'm supposed to be on a diet, but I had ice cream. And she'll be like, how's it going? I was like, he had ice cream. I'm on your side.
I'm an ally.
I'm an ally. But and genuinely, I like to, but like, I do know, like, A, the fear on their side, but B, this unspoken rule. But like, if I lived my life from these unspoken rules, like, am I not supposed to do stand up? Like, my entire life has been, you know, you're in tiny green rooms and you're in cars and you're in hotel rooms. And it's like, it's fine. I think, you know, 97% of the time it's been fine. And then all of a sudden, like, one dude's creepy and you're like, I get it. I get why society is like this.
Yeah.
I understand now. Understood. And I'm like, Sarah, he's eating more than ice cream. But, oh man, the more I think about, like, I was telling Evan, I don't find like comedy interesting, like our lives interesting. Like, there's a part of me that's like, there's nothing that fascinating, because we were just talking about how specials.
Why are we doing a podcast?
No, I mean, we're interesting. I don't feel like comedy itself is interesting. Like, when you see like a special and it's just like, you know, we're in the green room, we're chatting, it's da da da, and you're like,
yeah.
And then he's been in a bunch of green rooms. He's like, these are tiny and gross. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's no glamour. None. Yeah.
Zero. And then I'll do one. So I did the Den Theater in Chicago, and they gave me a hat. It's almost crazy I'm not wearing their hat. They gave me a hat. They gave me a sweatshirt. They gave me a pen. And
it's like all the things you love.
I know. I'm like a billboard for them. I wear their sweatshirts in my bag right now. I wear their stuff almost every week. And Evan is just like, dude, do you work for them? And I was like, honestly, it's the nicest anyone's treated me in this business. And I am proud to wear this sweatshirt every day. I was like, dude, I was like, if they have water in the green room, it's great. Like, I'm starting to be treated slightly better, and I am team being treated like a human.
Oh, yeah. Once a booker or promoter like actually treats you like a human and takes your like anticipates needs and like picks you up from places and like has everything waiting for you that you possibly want, like that's all you want. You're like, why can't I be treated like this all the time? Then you do a show where they don't do shit for you, and you're like, fuck this, fuck you. I didn't come
Dude.
all the way here to just sit in this couch. Just I don't know. You
No,
get
for sure.
spoiled pretty quickly.
Oh my God, 100%. And it's like, and also like, because like, whoa, we were in was it Tacoma we were in? And like, very nice. They were
That
super.
green room. Is that what you're about to talk about?
Well, I mean, I liked that. Like, it was a wall of candy. Not necessary. I always want to be like, hey, if you could just give me 5% more of the door deal and you don't have all the Snickers, like it's not like a gas station in
That's
here. Like,
hilarious.
I do like that. Like, it is nice compared to not having anything, but I actually don't need that temptation. But everybody there was like, it was a factory. Like, the manager's like, do you need anything? Da, 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 da. But there was like, I felt like, and I feel like this is being critical, but it was like, everybody was like, I have my role, I do it, but I don't go above and beyond in any which way. Like, I say hi, I make sure you know where the light is, and we move on.
Right.
But compared to what I've also had, which is I was in Connecticut, I was with my buddy Yemi. We had no idea it was a two-man show. We didn't know if there was a host or not. He was featuring. We walk in, nobody stops us. We just find the green room ourselves. Nobody greets us. Nobody says hi. Nobody asks if we need anything. We just start hearing the show start.
Oh my
And I
God.
was like, is there a host? And then you just hear them butcher his name. They're like, Yemi Yabba-dabba-dabby. And he's like,
What?
oh, okay. So he goes on, he does it. The audience was like, okay, I do it. And then the next day we did it again because it was only two shows. And then when we got paid, I was like, hey, I never met a manager. I was like, does somebody pay us? And the bartender's like, yeah, I guess I can pay you. And you're like, what? Like,
Okay.
did I sneak into a place and do a show? Like, it was wild. To just be like, oh, this is, and like nobody was mean to us or anything, but it was so wild to be like, this is a production to this is a place where they, you know, comedy is such an afterthought.
Right, yeah, we're a bar, and then the chairs happen to be facing this way, and you happen to be in front of them all and say some things. I don't care,
Yeah,
but we're
we
selling
had,
alcohol here.
it was wild. I truly was like, I felt like a little kid that was like left alone in like their friend's house and was like, so we can just jump on the beds. And they're like, we didn't even know you were here. We had no
Do you
idea.
remember when I ran a show? Did you ever do the show at Hyperion Tavern in LA? Did you ever
Yeah,
do that show?
where you were like the bartender, like they just let
Yeah,
you.
so we ran the show. I bartended. The owner just gave you the key, and then you run your show, you do whatever, you sell your drinks, and then you just put money in the floor and you leave. It was awesome. You DJ it yourself, like everything was me. I like ran the room. It was like my night. I ran the room. It was it yeah.
It was like pretending you were a bartender without any, or not a bartender, like a bar owner without any of the responsibility.
Yeah, it was
Like,
so cheers. Yeah. Like, of course, like he was, and the owner was like so chill. He was like, you can just have some beers whenever you want. So, and I had a lot. We eventually got kicked out because
because
I
the money
took
didn't match the lack of beers.
way too many liberties there.
Yeah, okay. Well, he learned a lesson about comedians and responsibility.
Give us an inch. Yeah. And then, yeah, I remember there would be like a rat that ran across the stage every once in a while. Like Andrew Slater had just moved to town, and I gave him a spot there. And because like Brian Moot was like, "Oh, you got to put up my buddy Andrew, who's really funny," and he is very funny. Check out Andrew
Great.
Slater.
Andrew Slater's
He's
great.
Portland based now,
Yeah.
but and so like he was on stage, and this rat just ran behind him, and I was like, "Oh, that's Harry! Like, welcome to L.A. Just put your money in the floor."
Is kind of funny that like every single club you go to has very strict alcohol rules because of some comic that took liberty. Like, you ever go to like a new place and they're like, yeah, whatever you want, you can have it. And you're like, oh, is this your first comedy show?
I'm pretty sure Tacoma like changed policy after I left there. I took all their candy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But at least a candy is like, you know, they get it probably for 30 cents. Alcohol, they'll literally be like, you know, you'll go to some places, they'll be like, yeah, whatever you want, just let us know. And then the next time you go, they're like, you can have one drink after your set, no hard
Ooh,
alcohol.
yeah,
And you're
you're like,
like,
what happened here?
whoa, who was here last weekend? Should we do our announcements?
Yeah.
And then get into it.
Okay.
This is what, week three? We're back, guys.
Yeah.
We're doing it. You can follow us on the socials. I don't know why I start this because I don't know our socials.
let me jump in here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm pretty sure if I do this, the lovely Danny will just put our socials here. But if you're listening, it's at Two Non Doctors on Twitter and YouTube. It's the number 2 full word doctors. And then Instagram is at Two Non DRS. And our Gmail, if you want to write us in, we were going to read a letter, weren't we?
Yeah, I left it.
All right, next time. Yeah. But like, yeah, if you want to send us an email, if you got something to say about anything we say, two non doctors@gmail.com.
We're going to get back in the groove. I can feel
it. Yeah, we are. We used to have kind of a rhythm. We'd be like, two non, two, like forward doctors.
Yeah. And then our Patreon, I'm getting it going. Thank you for, we had a couple of people join our Patreon last week. Thank you so much. But it's Patreon.com/two non doctors. I think full word doctors. And I am touring. Wow. I wish I knew where. This is coming out. This is sad. This is coming out at a time. It's in March. I am.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be out. This will be out March 12th, I think.
Okay. Check my website for my tour dates, which are lizmealy.com, because I forget where I am. I think I'm in Minneapolis at some point. I'm in Hartford, Connecticut, and Providence. Oh, we're getting our European tour is coming together. I'm so excited. We'll have it finalized by next week, but we're in like 8 cities all over the place, touring together.
A lot of Germany.
I know. The Germans are going to have a real Two Non Doctors fest. I am a mess and have no detailed information of where I'm touring.
That's okay. Go to her website and check it out, because the picture I took of her is still on it. I went to your website to get some information about a show that wasn't there yet. But like, I was like, oh, she still uses my picture. The wall on the TV.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of pictures I still use that are like my favorite. But I think at some point I should update my face.
I'll take some pictures of you when we're on tour.
Yeah. Let's do it.
You have to never take use anybody else's.
Yeah. Yep. Understood. anything else?
No, I was gonna say Dubai, but I think that's done by now. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Do you want me to read the Let's Get Personal?
Sure.
Okay. This was your Let's Get Personal. That is not right. I really liked this one.
Is Evan like in the room, or did you kick him out for like an hour?
No, he's snowboarding.
Oh, right. Of course he is.
Yeah. He went snowboarding yesterday, and he went today.
Is he only happy if he's riding some board somewhere? Because he surfs.
Very much so. yeah. So he rock climbs, he surfs, he snowboards and split boards, which I've learned everything about split boarding. And he's doing it. It's like his best friend from high school, who he hasn't seen in like years. So I've been calling him a Muppet. He's a character. He's so fun.
Oh my God, two Muppets together.
Yeah, it was so fun. I also, like, I'm wearing this weird sweatshirt, and this is exactly my personality, and his buddy Ross was just so much just fun and hair. Just a fun man. I feel he also got up at like 7, which I don't even know how he did that. I don't remember him leaving. My brother called me at 9, and I was like, huh? He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I've made sounds at many people today. Okay, let's get personal. What have you fallen back in love with from your teenage years? And if not applicable?
Perfect.
Thank you. How have you updated it? You want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think it's mostly music. I'm just like,
really? Like music from your teenage years, or just the love of music in general?
No, from like the music I listened to in my teenage years, which was like the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and the Doors and stuff. And like U2 weirdly came back into my life.
Mm.
U2. I was like, I hated on them for so long. And then I was like, actually, I really like them. And Tori Amos, because I was watching, I think it was Yellow Jackets or something, because some shows are like set in the 90s lately, because that's like the time period. And Tori Amos, which song was it? Cornflake Girl, I think. And I was like, God, I love this song. It's so good. And so I put it on my Spotify and I've been listening to that. But yeah, I really got, I just like, I used to be kind of a hippie in high school, at least like in my like junior, senior year. And so I just kind of got into all that music. And I have these jeans that are like
Like
wide,
real
I
bell
guess they're
bottom.
wide leg, but they're like super wide leg. I wish they were bell bottoms. I cannot find bell bottom, like good bell bottoms. I can't find them. Like I found some, but they're really expensive on eBay.
Yeah.
And you almost have to look in America for them because there isn't a lot, like, there aren't a lot of like
Oh.
British bell bottoms, you
I
know?
was about to say, because I was like, are you sure? Because I know a bunch of places that are now doing like flare and bell bottoms, like real bell bottoms again. I mean, they're all like in the 90s, they were low rise. Now they're high rise bell bottoms, which.
Yeah. No, I have a pair of like high rise, like really wide leg bell bottom things, but I'm talking about like vintage bell bottoms. Like I can't find like
Whoa.
ebay.co.uk doesn't really have a lot. And then I looked in the States too. Do you know what's funny is like when I used to look for bell bottoms from the 70s and the 90s, it was possible to find them in like thrift stores. But now, like, there's no way you're gonna find those in a thrift store. And it's also like hard. Oh my God, there's so much coming out right now.
No, girl, this is what this question inspired. This is what it's about.
I think it's harder to find gems in thrift stores in general because people can look up. Like, I think if you're volunteering at a thrift store and you're sifting through stuff, like, you can look up if something's worth something and then you could just take it for yourself. Like, I just think it's rare that you'll find like this amazing, like, rare find in a thrift store because it's like somebody's already seen it or it's easy to look up to find out if it's worth anything.
Sure. And two things. I think there's websites, right? Like ThredUp and like all these, like the same what Etsy did for like crafts, like ThredUp and these other kind of vintage websites has done for like finding vintage clothing or used clothing online. But on top of it, I love like, flea markets and antique stores and thrift stores and stuff like that. I'm not a big thrift person for clothing. But I've been in a lot of them because my friends are. So, like my friend Amanda and Hurry, when I was on the road with him. So, I would end up finding stuff only because I was there for an hour. And it's like, I might as well look if I'm trapped in this store. But I think the big issue is now when I go to these art markets and these flea markets, what used to be crap, right? Used to be like porcelain and like whatever. It's like 70 to 90% clothing and it's
Yeah.
expensive. So, it'll be like a
That's
little booth and it'll have like maybe two racks. And it'll be all these clothes from like the 70s and 80s, and everything is like $400. And you're like, dude, it is all holes. Like, this is just a shirt
yeah.
with holes in it. And I'm not saying it's not great, but I'm not gonna buy a $400 holey shirt. Like,
Yeah. I mean, because I can find bell bottoms on the internet. It's just, it is really expensive. So it's like, I'm
yeah.
not going to just find a pair and be like, oh, $5. Awesome. You know, like, and I know I'm not in the 90s anymore. But if you go, like, there's a place called Ragorama in Columbus that I used to go to, and you could always find really cool stuff from the 70s. But now when you go, it's all stuff from H&M, and it's just all like,
But don't you also feel like people eventually have to get rid of their inventory? So if there was bell bottoms there in the 90s and nobody bought them, eventually they're going to have to get rid of them for what is getting bought, right? Whatever. Like at some point they got to end up in landfills.
I don't, well, maybe. I'm sure people bought them. I don't think that was a problem. I just think that
You think they're
they
in
just,
people's closets
huh?
creating dust memories?
They might be. People, if you have any bell bottoms in your closet, send it to
Yeah,
send it to us. Like, email us, twonondoctors@gmail.com.
give us your bell bottoms.
Yeah. But I
I
have
have.
that pair of wide leg, and it's funny because skinny jeans will sit nicely on your ankles, and I forget. I spent my entire high school career gathering like rain and dirt and all the like just like the legs of your jeans soak up everything on the street. And you're just like, oh yeah, this. I hate this.
Dude, there was some meme that was just like every teenager discovering bell bottoms will also discover this, and it just literally showed like puddles in like soaked up into people's pants.
Yes.
I I don't think I'm gonna go back. Like, I still have a bunch of like my flare and bell bottom jeans. Who knows if I fit into them? But I don't miss being uncomfortable and being soaked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, consider selling them. You might make some money off of it if you
I
still.
see that. I think that I'm going to sell them to you. I think that's what I mean.
Yeah. I wish if I that was my first thought was like, ooh, give them to me. But I'm like, I'll never fit into your jeans. But
yeah, you're going to have to grow a little bit. That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to get you stilts or those lifts. Remember
that's
when you
not
used
what.
To
that's not why I'm not going to fit into your jeans. I'm like twice this. Never mind. But I'm like bigger than you.
Well, I also don't fit into those jeans anymore either. So we will.
I have a Grateful Dead t-shirt from the 90s that is like, it's a tie-dye t-shirt and it was made by some hippies. And it, like my brother bought it at a Grateful Dead concert and it's like homemade and it's so holy. And like, I'm just like, would this be worth anything? I feel like somebody would want this. It's so badass and so unique. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe I'll just wear it again.
Also, I do feel if you sold it, you would be so sad.
I would be. I'd be really sad. I can't sell it.
I know you so well that you'd be like, I made money. And then you'd be like, no, my memories.
Yeah. That's Plus my brother would be like, why'd you sell my t-shirt that you stole for 2 decades?
You need to give me all that money.
Oh, really quick. Like also it's a large and it right now it fits like it would be a small. And back then it was a large. And I feel like sizing has changed in the past 20 years.
Oh, there's so many like things on how sizing has changed. Like, and like the fact that there's no like universal sizing is wild to me. That like one place that you get a small is completely different from another
like vanity
place.
Sizing.
Makes me insane.
All right, your turn.
Okay.
Sorry, I see time limits and I'm like, no, Liz has to talk.
No, I have to tell you about, honestly, I saw this question. It took me 2 seconds. I was like, arts and crafts. I have 100% gone full-fledged back into arts and crafts, Liz. So when my parents moved out of their house, I don't know, they sold their house, let's say 5 years ago. I was like in Europe. And my mom was like, when you come home, your childhood is in the garage. Please take it with you. And I was like, and it was all my arts and crafts. I used to get like rubber stamps and I used to make cards for people. And it was like rubber stamps was like, it was all the ink pads. It was all the little stamps or whatever. I'd make like birthday cards for people. And then you would put like this glitter stuff on it. And then you had a heating wand or you could use a toaster and it would heat it up and it would make it so it was like, you know, when you touch someone's business card and it's like, what do you call
glossy?
It? Like embossed really. Like it's like above. So it's like, it would make it like pretty and shiny.
So it was like decoupaging or something?
No, decoupaging is like you're taking little, I think you take stuff and you glue it on top of each other. This is like you put the little glitter on it, you heat it up and it embosses it so that it's like, there's like a level to like it. Like if I wrote Maria and you put your hand over it, you could see that the M is above, like you could feel
okay.
it.
Okay. Got you.
But I would make cards and I was really into like rubber stamps. I was really into clay. I would make like these little clay like pins, very heavy, very ugly cat pins. And I would try to sell them to my mom's employees.
I see a tier for our Patreon happening.
Liz's crafts. Dude, I'm so into it right now. I love making cards. I love making cards. I went to Michael's. Dude, I went to I think Evan, he was like in LA or something. I don't know where he was. But he was away and I went to Michael's because I saw some craft on Instagram and I wanted to recreate it. So I went to Michael's and I spent $50 on like borderline paper. Like it was very, like everything was like a dollar and that's how I spent $50. And Evan FaceTimes me and he's like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, I went to Michael's and lost my goddamn mind. Like I can't even, like if I showed you all the weird stuff, stickers and like, I love stickers. Oh my God. I'm 100% back into stickers.
Do you have a preference between like Michael's and Joann's?
Joann Fabrics. I did love Joann Fabrics when I was younger. I used to make little pillows. I would make pillows that nobody asked for. borderline the size for like a cat. I made like cat pillows. I don't know what I was doing. I like Michael's better because it's more like paper and glue. I love glue.
It's more stationary and stuff.
Yeah, I love station. Like even to this day, I like do I want to be an acute stationery store? Sure. But will I settle for Michaels? Do I still get excited? Not Michaels, Staples. I still get excited about Staples. I love pens. But what sucks is Hobby Lobby is superior to Michaels, but I don't go into Hobby Lobby because they're evil. And Hobby Lobby is funnier to say. And
It
it's just
is great to see just
Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby. Why are they evil? What if?
Oh, they're like horrible to gay people. They're like just, they're
Oh.
super, super Christian. They're just like, their money goes to just ruining people's lives. So I try not to give them ruin people's lives money. I
That's
mean, other
fair.
people are, they're everywhere. But so, okay. So I did a whole, West Coast tour, a couple of weeks ago, and I did a festival in San Francisco, and I was there for a day. And my favorite place in San Francisco is Japantown. They have really good matcha soft serve ice cream.
Ooh.
And they have a Daiso. If you don't know about Daiso, it is like, it's basically like a Japanese dollar store. I would say everything is probably around $2, but it's like better quality. And it's like stuff. It's almost like a little bit like Amazon, where like when you find something there, you're like, oh, I didn't know I needed this, but I need it. And then it's a bunch of like stationery and like fun Japanese like treats, and I don't know, it's just basically I discovered it in Japan and it was huge. It was like almost like a like a Walgreens, or not a Walgreens, like a Walmart of size place that's like a dollar store. And then when you find it in the US, like LA or wherever, it's smaller. Like they have one in Queens, and they have a new one in Brooklyn, and it's much smaller, but I still love it. Anyway, I bought a bunch of stationery at Daiso. Affordable, right? Because everything's like $2. But then in Japantown, they had this stationery store. I forget what it's called. I sent the location to Sarah Milliken because she loves stationery stores. I was like, when you come to the US, you will have to go to the stationery store. I sent it to my little sister. I sent it to my friend Danny. I bought so much crap, like tiny little stickers, like little cute stickers, rubber stamps. I haven't used a rubber stamp since I was a teenager. And I bought a rubber stamp. I have to go get ink. I don't have ink anymore. I lost my mind.
No, that's great that you're reconnecting with this like fun hobby, but what are you doing with it? Are you making cards again?
Yeah, so I've been I've been like organizing my paper calendar, because I'm still somebody that uses a paper calendar. I've been using the stickers to organize my paper calendar, because it's like little stickers that say like to do or like
Oh yeah,
important.
I have a Clever Fox planner and it comes with like sheets of stickers that it's like, you got this.
I love it.
Or
Talking to
day
myself.
off.
Oh, dude, just like a teacher that's like, "Hey, you did a great job." Yes, I've been making cards. Evan is like, "You got to stop." And I was like, "I'll never stop." I've made him so many weird, dumb
Did you
cards.
make him a card that says I'll never stop?
I made something, because he was like, "Do you care about Valentine's Day?" And I was like, "I absolutely don't." He's like, "This isn't a trick." I was like, "It's not a trick. I do not care about Valentine's Day. I'm working on Valentine's Day. I don't care. If I wasn't working, you'd have to hang out with me, but I don't need anything. I don't need anything whatsoever. I just need that if we're home, you acknowledge it. And if we're not home, it doesn't matter." But I was in my craft phase, and there was a really cute picture of us when we went to Puerto Rico. And so I bought this little frame. I printed it out, and then I bought this little frame, and then I was like gluing stuff. I love glue. I've really discovered how much I love glue.
Did you use the sniff glue?
I didn't sniff it, but I used so much rubber cement when I was a kid that I believe I was high from like 7 to 12.
That's
I
why you're
really
eating
do.
like all the ketchup that you were eating and the chocolate. You're just high.
Because we didn't have a babysitter, and we would go, my mom's animal hospital, her cat clinic was next door. And so I would cut things out of these cat magazines, and I would glue them into my own notebook. And that's like in the lobby of my mom's cat clinic. That's what I did. And I have all of those books, by the way. I've never thrown them out. That was my childhood. That was in my parents' garage.
You were the person who almost got me to buy a label maker. I've never had the desire to label anything, and
I
you like so close to getting this little pink label maker because of you. Okay, so we're out of time, guys. That's it for today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for
Thanks for
listening.
indulging us more.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.